Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Tonight's we're starting a series, three-part series called First Love. And the first session we're going to do is Because He Loved Us First is the title of this session. To give you a quick little encouragement that I had this week, I've been planning this series for a while, and had it more or less mapped out as far as the three sessions, kind of a general direction, a lot of the verses I planned on going with and kind of direction I was going to go. And I'm at the staff meeting this week, and Tori, who sings like an angel, starts singing this song. It was a song that Andrew did in worship tonight. She starts singing this song about loving God first. And the name of the song is actually First. And the name of the song really could just have easily have been First Love, because that's the language of the song is, you know, I want to love you first, that you'd be my first love, that you, I mean, just this language. And I'm in the staff meeting as she's singing the song, and my heart is just coming alive going, oh, I'm finally on it. Like, we might actually have a window of opportunity here to touch God, because I've been planning this three-part series called First Love. I've never heard this song before, and Tori sang it and just, boom, I'm just telling you. You want to sit in on one of her Devo sets the next week or two, because she's probably going to be doing the song, and she just carries something as she sings that song. It is moving, and I'm just almost moved to tears as we're in this meeting, and I'm thinking about this divine hijack that I've been working on this three-part series, and then this song comes out, which apparently is a very new song, and she's been hearing on the radio. I'd never heard it before, and she's singing it in the staff meeting over our staff, and I'm just believing that the Lord has something, you know, for us here as a church. And the reason that I want to do this series is I'm tired of living off of yesterday's revelation about God. I mean, we've all read the Bible, we've all read the Word, we've all been touched by certain things. If I can be honest with you, right now I am living off of the fumes of past revelations about God's love, of times where I felt His love, where I was moved by His heart, where He said something and it awoken something in me. I don't mean He did something nice for me. I've seen Him do many nice things. I mean something touched my heart and caused my heart to reach for real. Something caused my heart to ache for real. We've all had that. We all know what those first few months or at least weeks in Christ was. All of us have had that experience before. We've had the camp high, if you will. Right now, I'm living off of fumes of past revelation, past moments of encounter. I still love God. I'm still serving Him. But man, I am just like dragging myself forward right now. And I'll be honest, it's a bit of a chore for me right now, because my heart is not alive like I want it to be. And I happen to know enough of you to know that you're in the same boat, many of you. And if you're not, if your heart is so alive, well, then you need to get to laying on hands, because we need you right now. So you just be laying hands on all of us, because many people in this room have gone through a significant season of difficulty over the course of the past bit of time, and we're worn out, and our hearts want to love God and are very, very weak and empty on fuel right now. And I have been in a season where I have been trying to get my heart jump-started. You know what that is? You know those seasons where you realize there's a problem and you do the things you know that fix the problem? It's just not working yet. My heart is still dull. And I don't want to be dull. I know that your hearts don't either. And I think that the Lord is giving us a little window of opportunity right now. And so I need your participation tonight and the next 2 weeks on these Sunday nights. It's not enough that you're here. If you say amen or not, great. That's not what I'm after. I'm after you trying to engage your heart and get something out of God. Get a touch. Allow one of these verses that we read to charge your heart, to defibrillate you. And I need you to engage and for you to try to be here with me these next 3 weeks. I feel like this is a corporate reality for us. It's a corporate word for our church right now, that the Lord wants for us to get that fresh wind, to have that fresh encounter. And I feel like that there's going to be some truths that's just Bible verses that you could read it on your own at home. But if we put them all together and preach on it, it just seems like a good idea. I think that there's some Bible verses, there's some truths that the Lord wants to use to cast off some stuff, to shake some stuff off of us, to awaken our hearts, to do something in us as a corporate people and as individuals. And I think he wants to use this series. I kind of feel a little bit of the wind of the Lord on this, that he wants to use this to awaken us. But I also know well enough that if the wind's blowing and your sail isn't up, it doesn't matter at all that the wind is blowing. And so I want to encourage you, if you have the most fiery, passionate walk right now with Christ, if your heart is so alive, I want to ask you to use this opportunity to intercede for the rest of us. Because most of us right now are weary from a difficult season of journey. And it's been tough. So all the rest of us, I want to ask us, let's engage for these, you know, these 50-minute teachings or whatever, the next 3 weeks, engage our hearts to be able to try to touch God and have him touch us back. So can we do that? So let's pray. We'll re-pray now that we got a little bit of a vision of where we're going. We'll re-pray, and I want you to just engage your heart and go, God, get me during these 3 teachings. Get me. I need you to get me. I need you to wake me up. Holy Spirit, we need you so badly. We appeal to heaven that you come and touch a church that's been faithful, but that is weary. That you would touch us as individuals that love you, but that are tired and hurting and a little bored. God, we don't want to be bored. I pray in Jesus' name that the word of God would have power to wake up our sleepy souls, to awaken our hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus for fire to come and to touch us. That, Lord, that you would move on each heart and you would allow us, God, to feel something fresh. We appeal to heaven. We appeal to you, kind-hearted God. King Jesus, look upon willing but weary hearts. Come and touch us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We need a revelation of his love. That's what this series is about. It's about setting ourselves before the Lord, picking out some scriptures that talk about his love, elaborating on them a little bit, and then praying for him to come and to touch us, to give us a fresh revelation. But again, I want to encourage you, it's not enough that you sit in the room. You've got to reach even during the message. I believe if you'll reach during the message, this is something he wants to do in us, that reach will be enough to help you to continue to reach when you go home. Obviously, 1 hour a week won't cut it for us. When we get a new, fresh revelation, whether it was the first time we ever came to know him, I mean, we went from not knowing Jesus to our first revelation of the man. When we had that happen, or subsequent times where something has struck our spirit about the love of God, about the forgiveness and the love of God, it changes us. It challenges us. It impacts us, and it empowers us to love him back. There is something about God sticking his finger out and putting it in the love potion and then touching our heart with his love that messes with us and transforms us. It's not enough for me to be like doing okay. It's not enough for me to, you know, still be in the assignment, but to have my heart dull. I want a fresh touch from God. And I think if we'll get desperate, that the Lord will speak to us. He'll move. A humble and contrite heart, he has yet to deny. We need a fresh impact of God's love to hit our spirits. Many of us, again, like I said, this last season's been so tough. If we don't get something to recharge us, how long can we go on fumes? Let this series be an excuse to re-engage our faith for a fresh touch. A fresh touch to our heart to love Jesus. Whether our circumstances change or not, whether anything shifts in the natural, that there would be a fresh touch from God, but that we've got to engage faith to get it. You know how I know that? Because for months, we've not been engaging faith to get that touch. We've been going through the motions and just surviving, which I'm not even upset about. As difficult as what we've come through, surviving has been A+ from the Lord for us. But there's a time where we got to stop from survival and start moving on again. It's time to engage again for a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. And it's going to take faith to do it. We've got to reach. And what we're reaching for isn't money. What we're reaching for isn't a shift in circumstance this time. What we're reaching for is, oh God, touch my heart. Touch my heart. And if we'll ask, he will come. And he'll move on us. Well, to start us off, I just want to think about the storyline of Christianity for a second. And think about God's love for us as the foundation of our faith. It's not his assignments for us. It's not his desire to bless us with all kinds of good stuff. And I am grateful he has assignments for us and very grateful for his blessings. But the foundation of Christianity is God's love for us. And I think if we'll meditate on this, I think if we'll use these scriptures as some dialogue back to the Lord, I think he'll awaken in us the foundation of Christianity again. I think he'll give it to us in his mercy. Let's put some verses up on the screen. John 3:16. For God so loved. It's the foundation of Christianity, is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but they'd have eternal life. How does all that happen? The love of God. God's love aimed at humanity. The foundation of Christianity, the love of God. John 16:27. The Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. Foundation of Christianity, the Father himself loves you. He loves you. That which Christianity is built on is the Father loves you. His love. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us. His love was real. It was powerful. It was pent up. His love was pent up. And he demonstrated his love in this. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While all of us were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The foundations of Christianity. The very thing that got this thing started for you and me. And we're bored a few years in? Oh, it's tragic. I'm bored. It's a tragedy. I'm bored. The love of God is what got us started on this journey. And somewhere along the way, we've lost it. We've lost the first love. The foundation is that God demonstrated his love. His love, his love. I'm grateful for the rest of the storyline. I just want to spend 3 weeks focused on the beginning. His love, his love. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. There it is again. Foundational Christianity. This is how God showed his love. This is how God demonstrated his love. God so loved the world. The Father himself loves you, and all of it is tied to the reality of Christ. Now we have come to know Christ, and therefore we have gotten to experience the demonstration of God's love. His love for us. I want to be touched by that. I want to be impacted again. I remember the first time that concept hit me and I realized I was forgiven. And I realized there was love available that I couldn't have bought with a bajillion dollars and any sort of sacrifice I could come up with. There was a love available. I remember how it hit my spirit. And I remember it changed me. Do you remember? Do you remember when it changed you? Do you remember when hearing about the love of God impacted you? When John 3:16 was a new verse? When John 3:16 and the message therein was fresh, and you felt it, you felt it. You read it and you went, oh, I want to be touched again. I want a fresh revelation. John, I forgot my water. Would you mind bringing it up for me? Thank you. I want to be touched by fresh revelation. That the love of God will be that on-road again to encounter. Just the revelation that's been there the whole time. That we just blow the dust off the passages and allow it to hit our spirit again. That the foundation of what got us started was God's love for us. I think about this last season, and I know one of the things many of us have been doing, or probably all of us, is, Lord, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? This season's been kind of ugly. Are you pleased with what I've been offering you? Are you pleased with how I've been responding? Because, man, some of this has been tough. And there is absolutely an important place for asking that question. I just don't want to get caught up in my part over and above his part. I just don't want to be so consumed, have my thoughts so thinking about my part that I lose track of the story, that I lose track of the miracle, that God loves me, that God loves you. Lord, would you awaken a preoccupation in our heart about you loving us? God, would you transform us again by the revelation that you so love us? The word says that God is love. 1 John 4:7 through 8. God is not simply loving. He's very loving. He is love. In the essence, or in the sense, it's what he's comprised of. God is not just characteristically loving. He is the very source of love. Look at what it says, 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Love. If it's truly love, it came from God. God invented love. You think Satan invented love? Satan invented lust. He just twisted the L word. God invented love. He didn't have to invent it. It's him. He is it. The source of love, where it comes from, is actually from God, from his being, from his essence. If you've felt love, if you've given love, if you've experienced it, if you've received it, it came from God. Love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I don't want this verse to be looked over. I don't want my heart to be able to read this verse and just move on to the next one. I want my heart to be impacted by the reality that God is the very source of love, that the one who so loved us is the source of all love. That he is a God whose emotional makeup is love. That he has so much love in his heart. He is so filled. He is so overwhelmed. He's the very source that any of us that would ever experience love have got to dip into him in order to be able to even encounter it or experience it. That God is love. Let's bring up the next verse. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. The God of love. I just love the way that Paul here is talking about God, like you would describe, you know, I'm going to use the analogy, like you'd describe one of the pagan gods. He'd say the God of war, or the God of fertility, or the God of this, or the God of that. He says, yeah, you know who you serve? You serve the God of love and peace. You serve the God of love. He's over the jurisdiction of love. If you find love anywhere, it did not come from Cupid. It came from the God of love in whom we serve. The God of love. It is his jurisdiction. It is his power source. He is the God over the realm of love. That's who we serve. He's the source, and he is the God of. This is very disheartening to me. How can we be bored with him? I am. I'm bored right now. How can we be bored with him? He is the God of love. There's nothing boring about him. We're just so fixed on our circumstances that we just can't see through it to experience the God of love, who, him being the God of love, has zero to do with what happens in your day-to-day life or on planet Earth at all. We are just so bound to our circumstances. We just so live out of how we feel and what's going on around us and are things going our way. We are just so fixed on that. How can we be bored? He's the God of love, the one who rules the realm of love, and he's told us that he loves us so much. How have we recovered from that? I want to get wounded again. I don't want to be stuck in a place where I've recovered from the moments, those revelation points that hit my heart, and my heart was hit, and go, oh, you're a God who loves me. And then I ate lunch and went to sleep and woke up again, and I wasn't moved anymore. What in the world is wrong with me? I don't want to be that way. I want my heart to be engaging the God of love. There's nothing boring about that sort of life. I mean, if everything goes awful and you live in a jail cell all your days and they clip off little pieces of you as torture, you're in a jail cell with the God of love. Like, I just want to have right perspective here. And I think that the Bible is our perspective shifter. I mean, we certainly can't look to our circumstances to be our perspective shifter. What if our circumstances never shift? Well, I guess God's not good, or I guess God's this, or God's that. The Word of God, we've got to root ourselves in the Word of God. We've got to let the Word of God be true, and every man a liar, every circumstance false. We've got to let the Word be real. And I'm preaching myself tonight. I'm preaching to myself. Just, I am so needing these Bible passages to make sense to my heart and not to my mind only. I need for these passages to awaken me, but I have a feeling that the Lord wants this more than we want this. And that this is actually an invitation for our church to get a hold of this. I feel that. I feel a window of opportunity for us to get a hold of this, and I honestly don't know exactly what or how that looks like, or I myself would not be bored. It's one of those things that I would say, I myself have not yet laid hold of it, but we press on and believe that the Lord actually has purpose to awaken us as a church into his love. We have a trust issue. Mankind does. And that trust issue is that we don't really believe that God's love is sufficient. The lost person doesn't want to give their life to God because they don't believe that there's enough on the other side of that relationship. They don't believe that there's enough in the one that they're going to commit to or not to, God. They don't believe that God has enough to offer them to satisfy them. But I wonder how different we are. That we're in a similar situation when our hearts are bored, when our hearts aren't engaging the living God, when our hearts are dull, I wonder if we're all that different, that we are wondering if the love of God alone is sufficient to sustain me. There's just so much that we want for. There's so much that we feel like we need to have in order to be all right. I just want to not be all right without the love of God, without a growing revelation. That's really what we're talking about. All of us have got at least a smidgen of revelation about the love of God. I just want to be dissatisfied with my portion and continue to press on for more. There's more available. If God is the very source of love, and I have by far not encountered all of God's love, then there's constantly more to draw from, to dip into. Look at this. Second part of that, 1 John 4, 9 through 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That he loved us. That he loved us. It's all founded in the reality that he loved us first. He loved us first. And as a result, that challenges our hearts. I'll give you a simple principle that Paul lays out in 2 Corinthians 12:15. Paul says this. He says, I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Obviously, he's writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us really a principle about life and also about heaven, about God, about how God thinks and feels. This very idea that was just shared in the 1 John passage that we read, God showed his love to us. And I believe that the Lord, in a little bit of a gamble, in a little bit of a exposing himself and putting himself out there, the Lord is saying this, if I love you, with all that I have, if I love you with my Son, if I love you with sacrifice, if I love you with all of my heart, will you turn around and love me less as a result? Will you love me less if I give you more? And so then Paul, as an apostle in the church, is living out the principle. He's saying, hey, I'm an apostle. I'm going to love you with all I have because I'm going to take the same gamble that God took on me. And that is, if I pour myself out in love for you, I'm thinking you'll turn around and reciprocate it. I want to be messed up by this principle. I want to not answer, yes, I will love you less. I wanted this principle to move my heart. I will very gladly spend for you everything. Think about it coming from the mouth of the Lord instead of from Paul for a moment. I will very gladly spend for you everything, son, daughter. I will give you everything. I will even give you myself as well. I'll give you my very emotions. I so loved the world that I sent. I will even give you my emotions. And if I love you like that, if I love you more, will you love me less? It's an invitation to love him. He makes invitations, not demands, when it comes to our heart. He gives us this invitation. And he's also then equipped us with every possible capacity to turn around and love him right. He's given us everything, but it's an invitation. Just hearing again, give me the freedom for a moment to read that verse again and interpret it as coming from the mouth of the Lord to us. If I love you more, will you love me less? It wasn't Paul saying, you'd better love me, and it's not God saying, you better. It's an invitation. It's like, my heart so wants you to love me, I'll pour out myself tenfold of what you could possibly give, a hundredfold, a thousandfold of what you could possibly give, just in the hopes that it would provoke your heart to love me a little more. I just want to be loved by you. We love him because he first loved us. John, 1 John 4:18 through 19. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not yet been made perfect in love. We love God. We love because he first loved us. It works. The principle works. God poured out his all, gave us his son, and now we have the capacity to love him because he first loved us. There it is, just says it so clear. We love, we have the ability, we are now capable of love because we're able to tap into the one who is love. We now have the capacity to love him back. It is only just the smallest little reach of our heart from the biggest hand from God coming down to love us. We love him, little reach back, because he first, epic big hand love, reach, loved us first. We love him because he loved us first. It's working. The plan is working. He has gotten, I don't know how many believers over the course of time, to love him with some measure of love. I just want my heart to be engaged in the thing that we were created for. I don't want to be content living like I've been living with my heart as unengaged as it's been. There have been seasons where my heart is more alive. You know what? You can be walking in maturity. You can be doing the right things. You can be living a life that pleases God. You can be having faith. But what does 1 Corinthians say? But without love. Without love. What does it even matter? Like, I don't want to just exist and like do and be for him. I want to love him. I want to encounter that love that he has for me. And I want to be able to love him back. And I want it to be a growing thing. It's not enough for me. I don't want to just have had those seasons where my heart was engaged in the past. I don't want to just be able to ride off of a little bit of a touch in the midst of a worship service. I want my heart to reach for God. I want to feel that love and allow it to do what the equation was intended to do. Giant hand of God, filled with love, reaching to my heart, to empower my heart to reach back with greater zeal, to reach back with more. The equation was put into place. If I love you more, if I have more love than anybody, if I am love, will you turn and love me less? It's a matter of revelation. God could be no more love. He can't grow in love. He's all the love he's going to be. It's a matter of revelation. And just like when we were lost and we had no revelation of the love of God, we lived a certain way because we did not have the revelation of the love of God. And when we came into that revelation, it changed us, because that's what revelation of the love of God does for you and for me. It wasn't intended to be a moment. It's intended to be a lifetime pursuit. We need wave upon wave of the revelation of God's love. And that love, that impact, that moment, those encounters, those revelation points, they will impact our hearts and make us glad-hearted and filled with love to love Jesus, to serve him, to give all of ourselves to him, to love him. But we got to have revelation. And I think we might have to dig for it. We might have to search for it as for hidden treasure. Dig for it as for silver or gold. It may not just be laying on the surface, or we would have found it again and again every single day without any problem. We would have found as much as we wanted. My heart is bored right now, and I want to dig for revelation of God's love so that I might become alive again in my heart. And I think that many of you, if not all of us as a church right now, are in a similar position. We've been walking with God. We've been following in obedience. We've done our best to handle some serious difficulties, but our hearts are not fueled by revelation of His love for us. And so as a result, we're kind of discontent. We're a little bored. We're a little sad. A little discouraged. A little distracted. I'm not coming down on us. I'm talking about me. I am talking about me. The problem is we don't have a revelation of His love, because if we did, why would we be bored or distracted or mad or sad or whatever? How could we be if we were actually seeing? Tell me how many of the seraphim around the throne right now are bored, mad, distracted, disappointed, hurt. How many? Just how many moments of a day, of a year, of a century, of a millennium? How many? Zero. Zero. Why? Revelation. All those eyes are peering at love. Love is on the throne. They're peering at love, and they've got revelation, and they are not bored. And they are doing what all of us in our hearts really want, and that is a real heart cry. Not something contrived, not we know the song so we can sing holy, holy, holy. A real heart cry, holy! Where we feel it. Oh, and it shakes us from within. Where it's real. Where it's alive. Not contrived. Where it's real. It comes by revelation. We've got to dig for revelation. We've got to get revelation of the love of God, because it's what first changed us. It's the foundation of Christianity, and it is what will continue to transform us and move us further. The great commandment. Lisa read it just even during a time of offering earlier. Matthew 22:36-38. It's the most important thing from His perspective. He is love. He's kind of like wrapped up in this idea. He's kind of like unable to escape. All of His decisions and thoughts come out of who He is, love. Every purpose of His heart, everything that He says, every commandment that He gives, every invitation, it all is processed through Himself. He is the filter through which everything comes, that comes out of His mouth, love. And He says, the most important thing, the greatest priority, is that you would grow in love towards God. You'll have many assignments on the earth, some short-term, some long. You'll have many blessings, really cool things that the Lord gives you. You'll have many difficulties. The Lord will cause you problems. The devil will cause you problems. Your enemies will cause you problems, and your own bad decisions will cause you problems. But that's not why we're here. We are here to grow in love. Not grow in influence. Man, if I'm in this for influence, it's over, folks. There's nine of you. What? How big's your thing? 10, 3, 0, 100, 500, whatever. We can't be in it for influence. For stuff, stuff can get stolen and perish and blow away, and we're not in this for that. We were put here, and we were given revelation, the introduction to the vault of God. I want you to think about the incredible vault that gets opened, and inside is the beaming light of God. And it's a vault that goes on forever and ever, and it's the love of God. We've been given the introduction and the code into that vault to be able to know and love God, be able to touch Him and experience Him. Our job description for the rest of our days is to grow in the knowledge and the love of God. to love God. That's the priority from heaven. If your stuff works, if your desires happen, if things break, things go well, things go bad, things grow, things shrink. So what? That's not the point of life. The point of life from Mr. Love is that we would learn to encounter his love. That's what we're here for. So if we eat well or don't, if things go great or they don't, we are here to love him, which really makes our circumstances pretty much inconsequential when we can get right perspective. I'm feeling kind of jumpy right now, so I'm saying things that I know are true that sometimes I don't feel. But if really the assignment is, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus, God incarnate, replies, I'll tell you the most important priority on the heart of the Father. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first, and it is the greatest commandment from the Father. This is what he wants. God is love. He wants you to chase him out. He wants you to search the recesses of his heart. He wants you to open that vault and get in there and find him, to encounter him, to love him, to grow in the love of God. That's the assignment. So Paul was able to do it from a prison cell. And he said, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice, from a prison cell. Jesus was able to do it on a cross. Father, your will be done. Because it's not about our circumstances, but gosh, we just can't get past that roadblock. We just keep thinking it's about our circumstances. We're just positive it's got to be about our circumstances. If my circumstances could just shift and be better or something, the Lord's like, I just want you to love me wherever you are. I want you to think about me and tell me you love me. I want you to try to find ways to touch my heart. I want you to be preoccupied with me and love. Love created all things. In the beginning, the spirit of love was hovering over the deep. And love so loved the world that he sent his son. This is all about love. And he wants us. It's truly his primary concern. There are so many passages in the scriptures that really just restate the greatest commandment over and over. I'll give you a couple of them. Deuteronomy 11:1, describing how to keep the law. It's describing to the Israelites how they're going to keep the law. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. They're like being told, how are we going to keep the law? How are we going to do this? Oh, well, love the Lord your God, and then do the stuff. Love him. But you'll fall pretty short if you don't love him, because he wants you to do some stuff. But that's really just an expression of love, really, for him. Love the Lord your God. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 13:3. You guys remember this one? Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Is Paul just like giving, you know, little parables and like speaking funny riddles? Or is there a point to this, Paul? Why are you saying this? Why are you faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love? Why say that? What are you after? Oh, well, you know, as an apostle, I'm trying to get you to understand the stuff that really matters. This is in the middle of an extensive discourse on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13. He's right in the middle of all the power stuff. Faith that can move mountains. Prophecy, where you prophesy and you read everybody's mail. The power of God, the gifts of miracles, the apostolic calling. And in the midst of all this, he goes, yeah, but let me tell you what really, really matters. Faith, hope, and love. And if you really want to know what the top one is, it's love. What's Paul saying? Really, if you want to know what the purpose of life is, it's not the spiritual gifts, it's to love. It's to press in faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith. Hope. He is our blessed hope. He's coming back. He is the one who's coming back. And love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the greatest commandment. Paul's just given us three, like, this is really what life's about. Faith, hope, and love. And if you really, really want to just narrow it down to one, if you just need to focus on one, it's the greatest commandment. Love. This is what our life is supposed to be about. Not like, you know, high school relationships. Not even our love, you know, for our family members and our love for one another. It all plays into it. But it's the greatest commandment to love Him. This is what life is about. We've just gotten so distracted. I mean, I think if somebody asked me, because I would want to have the right answer, you know, the Sunday school response. Somebody said, what's your life about? Oh, I'm trying to love God best as I know. But you break down your time. Your time says a lot about what you're doing, about what you think is important, about your priorities. You break down your thought life. How much of that is actually trying to flesh out loving God? Again, if I'm pointing any fingers, it's all in me right now. So if you guys want to come along with me in this, as I am trying to convict and awaken my own soul, then I encourage you to jump on the train. But how much of our life is really dedicated to trying to love Him? How much is it intentionally? I don't mean just going through the motions. I mean thinking about it. Oh, I hope you're pleased with this. I just want to love you with this. We all have our moments. But I'd rather have moments where I don't instead of moments where I do. I'd rather the whole life be so consumed, so caught up in this thing, this purpose that He has for us to love Him with all. He wants us to love Him first. He wants to make the top of the priority list in our life. He wants the tension of us not knowing exactly what that looks like at first. It's actually very helpful. Hear a message like this and go, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Go ask God. That tension is healthy because it causes you to reach. It's not all the answers being given to us. We'll talk about some of them, but the reach is way more beneficial for your soul. God, how does this look? What do I do? He wants to be priority. He wants to get first attention. He wants first priority. He wants to be the one that gets our love first. He wants us to think about Him and think about ways to order our lives to love Him. What have we ordered our lives to accomplish in the last season, this month, this year, this week? What have we ordered our lives to try to make happen? Well, I got to get this done. I got to make this happen. What if we started at a clean slate and we said, above all, for real, you're not talking to a person, you're talking to God who sees through everything. And you say to God, above all, I want to order my life around loving you. That's what I want first. I want it more than anything. And then begin to take steps and focus and thought life and time and energy and devotion to love Him first. Jesus said the same thing, this greatest commandment, this faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. The way that you fulfill the commandments is to love God. He said the same thing when He gave us in Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I think there's actually a really interesting insight that Jesus is giving us here. Jesus is the same one that in all of the Synoptic Gospels said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. So it's impossible that Matthew 6:33 is somehow a contradiction. Like, no, we're supposed to seek the kingdom first. No, no, there's this group over here that says, no, we're supposed to love God first. No, no, we're supposed to seek the kingdom first. These two things are the same thing. It's interesting, the insight that we get here. Jesus says, and then all these things will be given to you as well. You know what all these things are? Stuff. Life stuff. Circumstance shifts. Blessings. Information to overcome problems. Life. That's the passage, this right here, is followed by the passage that says, don't worry about anything, that's sin, don't worry. Don't worry about your money, don't worry about your stuff, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. None of that stuff matters. God knows. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God will take care of your life. If you make your life about loving God, God will take care of your life. There have been seasons where I believed that more than I do right now. And those seasons, my heart was a lot more alive. You worry about loving God. You make that your goal, your life, your mission. And God will worry about your life.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.